Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together the Zaza Bracha Revi'i, the fourth Aliyah in Parshas Zaza Bracha. This is a continuation of Moshe's Brachas, and today we hear about Zvulun, Yisachar, and God. Our Aliyah is four psukim long, running from Perek Lamed Gimel Yudches to Chof Aleph. Basic summary is we hear about the Bracha of Zvulun and Yisachar. We hear Samach Zvulun Betzeisachar Yisachar Bo'alecha. Rejoice Zvulun in your travels, and Yisachar in your tents, because nations will come, will be called to the mountain, and they will sacrifice offerings of willingness, and they will nurse the bounty of the seas and the hidden blessings in the sand. So it's a very beautiful description. And we hear about the bracha of God. We hear that Baruch Marchi of God, God is able to be expanded, and there's a blessing in that he is like a lion. He rips the heads and shoulders of his enemies, and then we hear how he is described as held in the place of the hidden seer, the hidden prophet, and he is the first among the nations and keeps his righteousness. So a lot of interesting and obviously poetic innuendos to the past and present and future of these tribes. So first question is why are these tribes here? So Rashi points out that the last five Shvatim, the last five tribes to receive the brachas, are the five who were presented in front of Paro by Yosef when he wanted to make the request that his brethren live in the land of Goshen. And part of the request was trying to present the weaker of his brothers. So these are the five weakest brothers who are at the end, and they are placed in this order. He had to give them an extra chizuk. Now, why are Yisachar and Zvulun lumped together in their bracha? So famously, Rashi tells us that these tribes had an agreement. Zvulun spent his entire time in trade, and Yisachar all his time in learning Torah, and therefore they shared the reward. That's why Zvulun is first, Rashi points out, because without him earning that parnasa, Yisachar would not be able to do that, and would not be able to do his learning. It's fascinating, because it seems to be that it seems that the default is that everybody's supposed to be working and learning. And what was unique is that they made this interesting deal in that one would fully learn and one would fully work, which seems to be sort of out of the ordinary in this respect as well. Rashi comments, of course, that Yisachar is not only learning Torah, but also fixing the Kviyasa Diyarcha, was involved in your Bina Le'itim, knowing about the greatness of setting the times in the Jewish calendar because of his Torah study. What are the hidden gifts of the sand, which Zvulun and perhaps Yisachar is gifted with? So Rashi quotes three things. One is tuna fish, and one is the white sand, which can be made into glass, and the chilazon, which is this type of creature, which yields this beautiful dye, which is used for the tzitzis in the areas where Zvulun's territory is. Now, what does it mean that all these nations will come to the mountain and bring these sacrifices? Rashi says, because Zvulun is going to be such an important Mediterranean coast trader, so many of the other business people will come from all these countries. They'll come to Israel, and once they're there, they'll say, well, let's go see the temple of these folks. They'll go off, and they'll see that everybody's serving one God, and there's no pantheon, and there's nobody doing their own thing. Everybody's doing the one service to one God, and they'll be so impressed that they'll convert to Judaism. So the pragmatia, the trade of Zvulun is going to lead to remarkable theological outcomes and Kiddush Hashem in this way. Big question which most people don't address, and you won't see addressed on the classic Mefarshim on the pages, was Zvulun really by the sea? So if you go to Yosef Yoshua Yud-Tes and you look at all the locations of the cities and the towns listed there, it does not sound like any of them are on the coast. In fact, it is in the north, but it seems that in fact that Zvulun is landlocked. Asher is on the coast, by the area of Phoenicia and Lebanon today, what we call Lebanon today. Zvulun is landlocked in the central part of the Galil towards the northern border of where Israel is today. So how does that square with the fact that both Yaakov's bracha and Moshe's bracha talk about the coast? Yaakov's bracha is describing that he is the choif on yois, that he dwells by the shore with boats, and our bracha is smach zvulun betzeisecha. So it sounds like that he's by the sand tmunei chol. So how can we account for this as well? It's interesting. Most of the Mefarshim do not deal with this. A lot of the Christian literature actually deals with this and tries to make suggestions. So many Christian scholars try to address this. So they make many suggestions that what it means is he lives towards the sea. The border of Zvulun's territory was so close that he gained the wealth of the seafarers. You know, so it could be that he expanded later at the times of Shlomo HaMelech. A lot of interesting suggestions as to this as well. It should be worthwhile noting that the Midrash and the Mefarshim take it for granted that Zvulun is right next to the sea as well. So there's not ambiguously and not figuratively, but very literally as well. So for example, the Daz Zakenim says, and when it says Hulu Chafir Anyas, it means that his cities were so close to the harbors that he became a bastion of trade because other cities were further away from the coast and people would not like to bring their boats that close and then having to offload their goods further away. So his ports were set up in such a way that trade was easy. So the Mefarshim take it as if for granted. It's interesting that in the Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan Living Torah, in his map of the territories of the different tribes, he has a little strap which comes from Zvulun through Asher to the coast, and actually Zvulun owns the coast of Asher from the area of Tyre and Sidon, which were the initial, later on going to be the Phoenician ports. It's important to notice that the Phoenicians were the greatest traders of the Mediterranean for many, many centuries, and this is the area that Zvulun was gifted in his territory, and so it could well be that that's what really actually happened, that although Yoshua describes the inland cities, the landlocked cities, but certainly the coastal cities as well. That seems to be taken for granted. Finally, one last thing in this aliyah is when we're talking about Gad, at the end there we talk about him seeing first and doing this righteousness. What's that referring to? Rashi says he saw Transjordan. That was where they were in the land of Sichon and Og, and he made a request for it. And that's why Chelkas Mechokek Sofun refers to Moshe Rabbeinu's grave, the plot of the hidden seer, where Moshe Rabbeinu's grave plot is not known, but it is in the territory of Gad. And the Rosh Am refers to how he came first as the Rosh to the people when he came to conquer the land of Israel, the Tzidkas Hashem Asa, thereby doing his word and his bidding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is leading the charge into the land of Israel. So that describes a bit of Dan as a Gad as well, Gad being also this very fierce border defender, which is why it's necessary as he expands to the east, as the east coast of Israel expands. So these are some perspectives on these brachas. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.